Welcome to the Internet Advisor, the place where you don't have to be a geek to find answers to your computer and Internet questions. Each week since 1998, the Internet Advisor crew has been bringing you knowledgeable and interesting guests from the digital world and talking about the hot topics. During our second hour, we try to focus on answering your questions in ways that maybe even your grandma can understand. The door is always open for you at InternetAdvisor.net, our homepage, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now, it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts for this week's edition of the Internet Advisor.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
Welcome aboard. It's Foster Brown and the Internet Advisor team. We've got a wonderful show in line for you here. We're going to be doing predictions. There's one massive crystal ball. Or is that an 8-ball that you for the ants? I don't know. Anyway, we've got a big ball here in the middle of our room. We're going to be talking about what's going to come up or what we think is going to be coming up in 2013 in technology. You don't want to miss it. Stay tuned. It's a great show ahead on the Internet Advisor. Well, welcome aboard. Hi, Foster Brown here with a wonderful group of people, a group of individuals that I have enjoyed working with these years. First of all, let me introduce Ed Rudell, a tech specialist. Hello, Ed.
It's great to be here. And you know, and I don't mind doing homework when you assign it. Not when I was a kid. I used to rebel against that stuff.
Also with us, Shane Hamlet is here in the studio. Good to have you.
I'm getting my I've got my magic smartphone here.
Not the magic 8-ball to look
no,
at the answers.
No, my smartphone for my predictions.
And Kel is with us as well. Kel Carson.
You know, I got to start getting here a little bit earlier. You know, I got to beat time getting in here when Shane's here because he always sits in that seat. And what it does is that he'll sit in that seat and cover the microphone buttons for my seat. And then, you know, you'll say something to me and it'll sound like that.
That's right. My master plan.
And that's why I mastered over one more chair.
By the way, folks, the people that we have in studio here, to give you a little bit of background in case you may be just joining us for the first time, Ed and Kel both have worked for quarter century or more as techs helping out in various corporations. Right now, you guys are officially GM employees, am I right?
Still HP
still
HP? Another week.
Another week, okay.
Hermetically sealed for your protection.
And then we'll be transitioning.
But you guys have been working with networks and with the executives at the company, helping them to get their computers working. Yep. And things
like that. And their two friends and so on.
Yes,
and so on.
Yes. And for Cal, you have been working in the Apple world. How long? I mean, you work in both fields, but I mean, Apple is...
Well, I first started... my first encounter with Apples were back in 1989.
Okay.
I was actually taking care of mid-range computers in a particular facility, and they were starting something up called a local area network using things called PCs. Mm-hmm. But they hadn't started those yet, and they brought in a bunch of Apples. They had about 20 Macintoshes and a printer, and they needed them networked together. And
was that the Macintosh? Was that the 2E, the very colorful?
We had the... No, those were 2SIs, okay, is what we had. And we had a 2FX that was actually working as the server. Mm. A desktop computer that, without memory in it, was $10,000.
Wow.
And then we put a whopping 8 meg of memory into it,
which cost
$1,500.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Isn't it amazing? It's astounding what we have. I just, days ago, put 8 gigabytes of memory into my Mac just to boost
it. I remember selling a bunch of my old computer memory and old hard drives and buying a car.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
That is...
You go to the swap meets. You go to swap meets, yeah, and you get them to turn over your old chips. They'd load up Duke Nukem to make sure the memory chips were running because that was the best memory test at the time.
Wow.
And they'd test the... the hard drives, and I walked out of there with $800 and bought myself a car.
And that was a darn good car that you bought with $800.
Oh, back then, yeah.
Darn right it was, yeah. The brand new ones cost like $12. Now, Shane, you've been around the business as well. Just kind of give a little background. You've been around both doing tech service, but you also now are in a store, a computer store, where you're selling. And tell a little bit about that, because it's a little different perspective.
Yeah, Comtech Services in Sterling Heights. We do a lot of service for customers where they've gone to Best Buy and other places and just didn't get the service they need. Mm-hmm. And we're very hands-on. We spend time with our customers, and we want to make sure they understand the tech that they're buying.
Right. So you would probably say that your company gives a more personalized
of
level of service.
Yes.
How has that done? Because we went through that time when it was like the big boxes were just like gobbling up all your little shops like that.
Right. Yeah.
But they weren't getting the service, I mean, even with their gig squads, et cetera. How is this computer shop done, one?
Yeah, I mean, you had, Circuit City, Best Buy. You had tons of
Fry's.
Everybody. And it just was killing the local small business. Yeah. And what's happening now is it's focused coming back to service. And the good family-owned small business, local computer store, where you walk into and just buy a video card. I think it's changing. I think what people want is they want to go in, have some one-on-one, get that personal service, and learn how the new technology can help them.
Right.
Not necessarily I want to walk in and buy a desktop or a laptop, but, I see there's these tablets and these Windows 8 and the touchscreen, and how does this all work?
You look for somebody trusted who can help you through the maze.
Correct.
And then I think the other thing, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, Shane, but I think because computers themselves have become a commodity item, you may have to pay maybe, 5 or 6% more at a mom and pop store, but for the premium that you pay, you get a better experience or a different or a closer experience than rather just being an order that's been taken.
Yeah. And that's hard, but I think once customers realize how we are, that a little bit of, it's not a ton, but I can't compete with the Tiger Directs and all these. You can't.
No, but I think that what you're seeing though, and I think I'm kind of getting a sense that the smaller local computer shops are having a little bit of a revival, precisely because I think they're doing what I know with Apple 3-4 years ago now when I started using an Apple computer. You like the Genius Bar. You like the fact that you've got a face. There's a somebody you can go to in the Apple stores. Right. And I think that has been the genius.
Yeah, and the other side of the coin is that you can take the problem to the person and say, here, I'm going to show you exactly what's going to happen and what I'm having a problem with, as opposed to over the telephone, you're sitting there going like, it's doing this, and is it doing that? And they have to walk
you
all
the way down.
We know
that on the air as we talk with people,
And then the other side of the coin is that a lot of people wanted native support. Not taking anything away from overseas support, but people like to be able to deal with people they can easily understand and get right to the point with right off the bat. Mm-hmm. And the local entities can give you
that. So, guys, we may have talked about one of our first predictions for 2013, and that is that the local computer shops.
What comes around goes around.
I think so. I think they are. I hope they're going to thrive, Shane, for your
sake. Almost like computer boutiques. I hate to say the word.
No,
but,
that's right.
No,
I think you're absolutely right. And a place where you got some trusted advice. Okay, guys, when we come back, we're going to start with our predictions for the year 2013. Happy New Year to you. Hi, Foster Brown, along with Ed Riddell, Shane Hamlin, and Cal Carson, and we are the team making it up. Gary Baker is on a little bit of a vacation. He will be back next week for our big CES, Consumer Electronics Show program. Rick Broida, our gadget man, will be back from Las Vegas, and we'll be talking about what he's seen there, and we will get Mr. Baker to cough up his predictions.
Yeah, I think he's just trying to skate around it, hoping we'll forget.
Won't work. All right, guys, let's start off. And Ed, since you were immediately to my left and to our listeners' right, you start off with the first prediction for 2013.
Well, the first one I thought of, and we brought this up a few weeks ago when we were talking about an article, and they were talking about instead of PCs and notebooks in the network, they were talking internet devices. And that got me thinking about the percentages of how many of these devices do we have. We have smartphones, right? We have tablets, we have desktops, laptops, you have TV set boxes, right? Mm-hmm. Netflix and stuff like that.
Right.
And so one of my predictions was that mobile devices will continue their march towards dominance.
Right.
Mobile web access will overtake PCs.
Now, that second part of it I find kind of interesting.
And when I looked into several statistics, basically tablets and smartphones make up, well, smartphones make up 15% of internet usage right now, and tablets are about 6%, and everything else is bundled into that last 79%. So that's 21% right now for mobile devices being tablets mm-hmm. and smartphones. I'm thinking that's going to be over 50% by year's end.
Okay,
that's prediction.
What do you think, guys? I think that's a sizable jump. Yeah, that's a big jump.
Yeah, and with those numbers, like you mentioned, you know, the security part of it, you know.
And that's another thing. Another part of this prediction is mobile security will need to be ramped up on these and continued expansion of internet-served time-based usage applications like Office 360 and private corporate apps. You know, and here's another part of it that I thought sort of tied into. And we have this in General Motors. General Motors is having these little applets that you run that you can only get from GM. You know, you can download your OnStar applications. You can download People Finder applications, lets you find anyone in the corporations. Other corporations are going to start expanding on this too, where what they're going to do, instead of having these, they're going to have all these little apps customized for their corporations.
So then, when you talk about
and that'll be more common day.
Yeah, when you talk about the mobile realm, you're talking about a lot of stuff. You're talking about the ways of getting to information, being more and more, like you're talking about that it's like 21% to 50%, that's over 100%, that's like 150% increase this year alone. What do you think, guys? You think that's safe?
I think that's a little aggressive, but Ed's been in the business for a while. He might have a pretty good touch on it. I'm thinking somewhere in the neighborhood from 21 up to about maybe, I'm thinking 38 to 40.
You know, one of the other things, guys, I wonder if we take into account, we look at this in terms of the United States, but globally, we've got China, for instance, coming on board with smartphones now.
Well, I wasn't thinking U.S. Yeah, I was thinking
think, as a matter of fact, if you look at the number, I would love to see this data someplace. Maybe we can dig it up. The percentage of people who are accessing the internet, I think now in China, outdoes the United States.
Right.
Because we're only, 200 and some odd million versus a billion people. You know, so it'll be interesting in any case.
Here's another thing I found that was really interesting is Netflix in the United States accounts for almost 32% of all internet bandwidth usage.
Oh, bandwidth. I think that's a big word for this coming year is bandwidth.
So, and I didn't have that in my predictions. I thought it was an interesting
I think it will fit into some of the other ones because I've taken a peek at all of yours. All right, Shane, how about you? What's your first one there?
Well, I think my first one is I've got a couple here. Obviously, we all do. But I think Google, I think that's where I want to go with it. I think Google is going to have some of their AdSense, some of their advertising for local businesses get integrated into, because Google Maps is so successful.
Oh, yeah. Huge.
The turn-by-turn navigation. I think they're going to integrate that into those devices so that when you're driving down the road, if you're a paying local business that advertises with Google, there's your business going to show up.
As you're driving along, bing, it pops up and says,
sounds like a natural evolution,
I mean, they've already got the Google Places.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you've got to get so many hits, and unless you want to pay for it right away.
Oh, I see. Okay. You know, because, but a deeper integration then.
Correct. Hmm. Right into your turn.
But they'll have to be customers of Google to get that happening.
Correct.
Yeah, but, you know, something like that could subsidize the entire product in your vehicle.
Correct.
I wouldn't be surprised if someone's going to distribute an in-dash device that you could put in there for free. and you just get the Google Apps.
We haven't talked.
Aren't you hungry right now? There's a rib joint right on your right hand side, 100 feet up.
You know what I'm thinking? Hey, get you guys Smell-O-Vision. Do you remember that from Brave New World?
Oh, yeah.
They'll put that in cars now, so a little French fry smell will come out at the same time as you go buy McDonald's.
And I mean the speed, the internet speed is increasing so quickly in the bandwidth and the pipeline.
Well, you're saying you tie a couple things in there. Yeah. I think is interesting too is connected cars. Now Apple Maps. Am I not wrong? Cal, that Apple Maps already has that business aspect locked into it as well?
You know, I haven't really looked closely into Apple Maps lately, but I think it's supposed to have some degree of that involved with it already.
Yeah. Although, I think what's happened, even on iOS devices, that's Apple devices,
yes,
Google Maps has just swamped the place.
Yeah.
Once it's on an iOS device, why go anywhere else?
Man, it's such a successful piece of
Successful software. Cal, how about you? Let's go around the horn to you and see what you got.
I predict that I'm going to be hungry at the end of the show. Well, my first one was everybody's always talking about how can I cut that cable? Can I get rid of that, you know, that dish and then don't have to pay for that sort of thing? And I think that despite the fact that you got Roku boxes, you got Apple TV, by the end of the year, it's not going to matter anyway. I think cable And over the air and satellite TV will still be the more predominant way we're going to be able to get content.
Why? You've got so many people who are nibbling away at that right now. Why do you think that'll still stand?
Because there is so many people nibbling away at it, so that what'll happen is, let's say, for example, Roku will get rights to, I don't know, Wii Television, and then Apple TV will get rights to something like Home Garden Television. Mm. So in order way, the only way you can get that information is you'd have to have all these different set-top boxes, which is going to just be ridiculous. Right.
The subscriptions through those boxes. By the way, folks, for those who may not have it, I just got an Apple TV, the little box, and I'm having a ball playing with it. But what you're saying is true. You're limited to some extent
exactly.
to the applications or the subscriptions that you're allowed to get through that particular device. And cable, if you will, still offers you 200, 300 channels, you know, for a flat price.
So if someone was able to come up with a technology, and more importantly, someone who has the gift of gab enough to walk up to all these different entities that produce content and say, send everything here, then they'd be on for a winner.
Let me jump off of something you're saying here, and I want to get you two guys, Shane Ed. Mm-hmm. Do you think there will be an Apple TV, set this year? You don't think so, do you?
I say no.
You say no, Cal. All right, Shane?
I don't want to go into one of my predictions. That's one of my predictions coming up.
All right. Well,
yes.
Well, go ahead and feed off. Go ahead to your prediction then.
Yeah, I think Apple will dump the TV idea. It'll never happen.
The
physical TV will be gone. Yeah. It's not going to happen. I don't think they need to. I think it's all in licensing. That's where they're going to make their money.
Their margins are too small on that. And every 4 or 5 years you buy a TV, maybe every 2 years you buy a new tablet.
Yeah.
So they're going to make more money off of something that turns over faster than a TV. How about you, Ed? What do you think?
I have no opinion on that. I don't even have a flat screen TV at home or an HD TV.
We've got to pool our money. The buy Ed a flat screen TV.
You know what I told my daughter? I said, I'll give you the money, and for my birthday, January 21st, you buy me a TV.
There you go,
and
folks.
Tina can't complain about it.
Tina being his wife.
The prices come down so much. All you do is don't eat lunch for a month, and you can buy one.
They really have come
down.
I
brown bag it every day.
Yeah. Oh. Mm-hmm.
I think Apple might still make a TV, in quotes, but I don't think it's going to be like the conventional type television that we think of. It will have that function to it, but I think it's going to be more than that.
It's got to be. Yes, I agree with you.
It's going to be more like a media center. In other words, it's going to be the thing in your house where you sit, you know, and all TVs are going this direction. It's going to be the big display in your house where you send all your content.
All your content. All your visual content.
From your tablet, from your PC, from your laptop.
Hey, we can do that with our Apple TV right now. I can put my book on tape through my speakers and my TV.
How about an Apple wall? We'll just do the entire wall would be Apple, and you just paint it on, or and it'll be 16 by 8.
That's another one of your things coming up. We'll talk about the displays. So, folks, we're already deep into the crystal ball gazing here at the Internet Advisor. Foster Brown and the crew back with more predictions for 2013 coming up in just a moment. I tell you, we're having more fun than a barrel of monkeys here.
Like heated debates.
I love it. This is so much fun. We should do like another stream where we've got the breaks where we're talking with one another. It is a whole show in itself. Okay, guys, my turn. My turn to bring up. I will be the funeral director because I believe we are going to continue to see some notable deaths this year in terms of companies that will simply go out of existence or will be gobbled up.
Oh, tell us, grave digger.
All right. The first thing I would predict is the death of the mouse.
Really?
It will go eventually. It's going to be phased out. You won't see it happening right now, but like an extinction process, mice will be less and less used as touch and gestures and voice become interact. That human interaction factor with our devices, whatever the device may be. It could be your TV. It could be your computer, anything. Your phone right now. On my way this afternoon, I talked into my phone and said, call so-and-so. And that it was through a device that I had linked up on my car.
Well, if we wanted to play numerical numbers, and we got 100 mice in existence today, by the end of the year, how many?
I would say there'll be 60. In other words, there'll be a significant attrition.
A 40% drop in use.
I think so, because of the devices that are there right now, and they'll be so much easier to use. I'm getting older, okay?
Ed,
obviously. You noticed that. How about you? snow on the mountain. In any case, have you noticed that, like with our Apple devices, the touchpads that are there are becoming much more important? Gestures are becoming much more important. With the Apple, pardon me, with Windows 8, it works best with a touchscreen.
Correct.
So I'm just saying, and Ed, I think I saw one of your other predictions that that was our way of interacting with our machines is going to become much more
humanoid.
Humanoid, yeah, exactly. And the mouse is wonderful for fine work, so I think it'll still be there as a significant input for people who need that kind of thing. All right, second thing, I think we're going to see Barnes & Noble is going to die this year. Mm-hmm. I think Barnes & Noble's gone. They lost again in the Christmas, and I that breaks my heart. We have one in downtown Royal Oak right across from
us. It's one of the few places you can go other than the library to actually touch books.
Yep, and people love it. The people who love Barnes & Noble's love it, but they don't love it enough to be able to go in there often enough to keep it alive. The other thing is that even though their Nook is a wonderful tablet, that is, Rick Broider was in here was saying is really a superior piece of hardware. I've never used it, but I looked at it. It's got great expansion on it, et cetera. It just wasn't able to beat it because of the amount of other stuff that's in the market right now.
Yeah.
That's either at its same price or lower. The other thing is I think Nokia is going to die this year. I think that this company, which was outstanding for it was the word in phones for worldwide for a long time, I don't think they can make it. I love the hardware, pardon me, the software underneath the Nokia phone, but the phone, pardon me, sucks.
Yeah,
it's a brick. Everybody who looks at it says, "I love this thing," but it's a brick to hold in your hand. So I think
that was just one model,
but they have not really become the hero phone for Windows 8.
Yes.
Shane's phone, which is the HTC 8X, I think it is a smaller, thinner.
Yes,
it
doesn't,
by the way,
speaker.
Shane, you lack a lot of the stuff that Nokia has, some really wonderful software in there. But the device itself, I think, is really great, and the bigger screen. The other thing is I think that RIM will die this year. I think that RIM is just too little too late. Was it 10? Is their operating system?
Yeah, but they haven't even released their devices
too
yet.
Too late. Too late. Yeah. Too late. Too late. Too late. Too late. Too late.
You know, that just takes me to one of my predictions.
What's that?
Which is the opposite. And I predict that RIM will come out. They will bring their new system out. And you ready for this? They'll catch up or pass the Windows 8 phone by the end of the year.
But they have an installed base that could do that. Yes, they have an installed base that could do that. I don't know if they'll do that.
All the stuff that I've been seeing, if it's at all true, what they're showing on the internet, and they can't put it on the internet if it ain't true.
Well, you and I both definitely know that December of 2013, God willing, we're both still around, we'll have an interesting...
Yeah. It looks really good. I was very much pleased and surprised.
I've heard other
and
people
of course,
say
it's too. It's an light years leap from what they have right now, so anything they're going to do is going to look good. But I think they're going to end up giving the Windows phone a run for the money.
Okay. So enough of my funeral directions. Let's go to you, Shane. Or did you guys have any particular response to that?
No.
I think we,
Okay, I think you did. Okay, Shane, how about your next one?
Oh, let's see. What do we want to do? I'm going to go with a big one. I know it isn't going to happen exactly next year, but I think the death of email is coming.
I want to know what you mean by that.
I think it's going to be all text message-based through your phones or your tablets. I think once one big company jumps on board and uses that kind of a service, let's be realistic. I know you may. I don't use my email. I keep it because
I use it a lot.
See, I keep it because I have to. But most of my communication is through social media, through my phone,
right.
Texting. I keep it because it's customers like email sometimes.
Yeah.
But let's be realistic. I sit home and I'll go through an hour, 2 hours of just hitting the delete, 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 delete.
That's
delete.
True.
And I've trained my eyes so well that I can pick out a real, but I don't get real emails unless they're from you or a couple of other people.
How come you never respond to my emails? Now I know.
I delete them.
Well,
and it's all junk. It's like the old postal service. Remember how much junk mail we used to get?
Tons. Oh, yeah.
Remember?
Yeah. Cal, you were going to say something.
I'm going to go slightly the other way. The death of email will come when you no longer have to use text, because text messages are just a pain in the rump to me, and it's nothing more than fast email. Now, when they
240 characters,
when they can change it, when they can change it where you don't have to read it,
yes.
When your text messages are all audio.
Yes.
Then
so,
you got the
and also
email.
Where you can dictate it.
Yeah. So when the voice recognition software really gets there,
that's good. Yeah.
That will that, then I'll saying, call it the death email.
Please call Chuck, and it you know it's something else. You know,
who's, doing,
you
who's
to,
doing that now? Is somebody doing that now? Some of the car companies. Somebody had software out that was doing that.
We can all do it.
I mean, probably, yeah, you're right.
I mean, all your phones will do that.
But not really good.
Yeah, but in a corporate environment, when everyone's sitting in their 6x6 cubicle, you're not going to have all these people listening to and talking, you know.
If everyone has an earpiece.
Well, you're talking about a different, two different realms, I think. One's a corporate realm.
And the corporate realm, certain emails are legally binding. And other text messages, well, I guess found out those are legally binding, too.
It doesn't matter, though, Ed, because the legally binding of the message is in electronic format, and whether the bits and bytes are in text or bits and bytes are audio, there's still bits and bytes.
That's interesting, though, Shane's prediction.
Listen, okay, Eddie, how about you? Jump on the next one.
Big thing next year, I think, is going to be flexible.
You mean this year?
Oh, this year.
2013.
Right,
We're there.
Flexible curved touchscreens flood the market on everything. And, you know, Samsung and a few other companies have come up with these flexible displays that can bend almost in a loop in a 6-inch diameter. So you're going to see these things on, you're going to see curved phones. Right, with
so that actually fit your head.
That actually fits. Yeah, it's going to be like a Dove bar, basically. It could be like a Dove bar, and it actually conform to your face rather than not. And
no matter what,
alarm clocks are going to be with a curved screen. Coffee makers with a curved touch screen at the
now,
front.
Now, conforming to your face, I could care less about. But the good thing about it is, if they do take those phones with the curved screens, and you can put them in your pocket and sit down and not break it, now you're talking about a real innovation.
Yeah.
See, I doubt that. It's going to be a fixed. Device with a curved. Yeah, they're not going to allow you to flex these things.
No, I mean,
they're going to be some devices. Yeah, what was that show that had that?
Minority Report, that movie with Tom.
Yeah, it's like two scrolls and you open up a scroll. Yeah, maybe.
I have to watch that movie again because there's all sorts of tech in there. I think it's going to happen soon.
But we're going to see that. Just watch the commercials. We're going to see a lot of
As you said, on the front of coffee makers, on refrigerators, there's all sorts of places you can put that kind of
display. Did you hear? I was listening to the radio on the way in, and they were talking about 2013 thing. They have these refrigerator magnets in Dubai, in India. You press the magnet, it Bluetooth communicates to your internet and orders you a pizza. So these people, what they're sending out is these magnetic magnets on the refrigerator to order pizza. You just push the button.
Bluetooth
you get
magnets.
Yep.
Oh, my Lord. CES is coming up. That's a consumer electronics show. Actually, it's starting tomorrow, official Las Vegas, and we'll be hearing back from Rick Broida. He probably have all sorts of things like that. Cal, quickly, before we get out of this segment, next one from you.
Oh, gee, let's see. A manufacturer will break the 100-inch LED flat screen barrier by the end of 2013. So, because right now,
anxious to get 90
is the max right now, but no one's doing 100 yet.
You said something. I want to check. What do you think, guys, during the break? And I love that comment during the break. You were talking about, I think it was you, that eventually what will happen is they will be producing like drywall 4x8 panels that essentially you'll be able to put in your home anywhere you want. Put a couple of leads into it, or you know, connections to it for whatever audio, the signal from a little box that controls the sources. Boom, that's your screen. You think that's possible even this year?
It's going to be windows, scenes, backgrounds. I mean,
literally, windows on windows.
Yes, right?
Well, that's the old thing. Didn't they have like the, I forget what we've had movies where people have walked into a room and a whole landscape shows up.
The Cloud Atlas has a lot of that in that movie.
Well, think about it. If you drive down the freeway and you see those huge LED billboards,
why not?
All they are panels. Yep. They didn't make that whole one billboard one panel.
No, those are separate
panels that they just join together, and you got a big screen.
And I guess the point will be the break where it comes down to be affordable enough for people. But this is the year, I think, when we're going to see both that flexible screen and the possibilities for it. We're going to see the beginning of a lot of possibilities, and also that notion of a panel that is kind of
and
agnostic.
It's really
agnostic.
Real easy to plug it together. I mean, you just plug it together with HDMI from one panel to another.
Built into your shower. You know, the shower door?
Yeah.
One way, you know?
My wife consoles herself that there's only one place that I can watch a computer now. Dear God, if it was in the shower. Honey, get out of the shower before you turn into a raisin.
Yes. No more tile walls. You have LCD walls.
Yes. I love it. Back in just a second to wrap up our prediction program. Oh, we're just getting scratched going here. Thank you once again for joining us, Foster Brown, Ed Riddell, Shane Hamlin, and Kel Carson. By the way, thank you again to Annie Nichols and Rich Luzinski behind the glass. We're going to put them to work this next hour because we're going to open up our phone lines for those of you who are listening to us live here on our flagship station, WJR in Detroit. Our number is 800-859-0WJR, 800-859-0957. By the way, feel free to comment on any of our predictions and also bring us your questions. We'd love to talk. We had a great time last weekend, a tremendous number of calls, and we'll get to you as quickly as we can after the top of the hour for those of you who are able to call in right now.
I'd even like to hear some of their predictions if they have
one. I would, too. To get some responses to ours. Okay. Yeah. Cal, we need something really outrageous to close out the prediction. So let me invite you.
What is this, the yearly thing? I have
pull
to come up with something
ridiculous
every time.
Pull the pin on the
grenade
and roll it into the room. Come on.
Well, everyone knows how much I really, really love and embrace that Windows 8 operating system, especially the fact that they use something called Live Tiles. Mm-hmm. And every time I see Live Tiles, it always reminds me of when I was a kid. And I used to see those blocks that my mom used to give me. And so, therefore, I think Windows 8 is going to end up being codenamed like Windows Millennium Edition was ME. I believe Windows 8 is going to be codenamed FP.
As in?
Fisher-Price.
I disagree.
Now, okay, but does that mean, Kel, seriously,
yes,
that you don't think people are going to take that tiled interface seriously, that way of interacting with a computer?
To be honest with you, I think people who haven't been using a computer or new to a computer may embrace that new system.
Mm-hmm.
People who have been using computers and used to them will be saying things like, can you get me back to the start?
Exactly, exactly. And that was what every tech writer said when Windows 8 came out, and I thought they missed the point entirely.
Yeah.
Because I think it really is geared much more for, like, with Jenny, my wife, I just put it on, I just upgraded.
At a glance.
And it's working for her. Because there are three basic things she does. She does email, she does Facebook, and occasionally she will share some photographs. Boom, done. Done.
Yeah, but I would categorize her as what you would call, quote, the casual user.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Where your hardcore people are saying, hey, look, you know, I don't have time to try and learn this new interface,
sure,
which they should do, but they don't. Give me that start button, get me going. And I think it's going to take them about a year to say, okay, we'll
why
change
would they
operating
need to learn?
System.
I mean, it's a tool.
But just like
tool.
With... But like just like what Ed said, within GM, you have all those GM apps. Imagine a start screen full of GM apps. I mean, it allows a company to be able to customize the interface for their employees. Once they've got to that interface, boom, they can go off to the desktop and do whatever
you
they
remember
need to.
Years ago how they used to have the people would download those little applications that would have the ticker bar at the bottom of the screen so they could watch the stock prices or CNN Live, you know, streaming news. And, you know, they're looking at their desk and they're typing a Word document and then they see – you know, some major news headline that comes across the bottom.
Squirrel.
That's what Live Tiles are. Yeah, squirrel.
Everyone with ADD, it's wonderful to have Live Tiles because they do that. What do you think, Shane? And just terms of Microsoft in general.
I use Windows 8 every day. I get better and better at it. It's not that I'm horrible, but I learn something every day. And that's normal with a new operating system.
Yeah.
I just can't get you. The biggest thing, I can't get used to the address bar being at the bottom.
Yes.
That is the only thing that I'm looking at the top of.
By the way, and during the year, we're going to be doing more and more programs I want to do about Windows 8 because I think people who are buying new computers, whether they like it or not, are being forced into that in many ways. That's what desktop that's there. They're not putting them out with Windows 7. You can dumb it down to that if you want or go back to that. But I think we're going to need to do that kind of learning communally because it is such a radical change. But there's a guy named Paul Thurrott who does a Windows Weekly program with Leo Laporte and I forget the woman who does it with him. But anyway, in any case, he has a whole list of things.
It's not Sarah. Is it Sarah Lane?
No, it's one of the other ones.
One
anyway,
other ones?
But anyway, the point is that there's a lot to learn about it. And if Microsoft will listen to the users now, who are not complaining about it, and start integrating some of these things, this could become a really big system. I think that this will be a huge year, a critical year for Microsoft, because it's not just the Surface Pro, for instance, is coming out this month, which will be that 10-inch tablet-laptop hybrid that's going to have everything. It will do everything.
Oh. Someone's sleeping. Right?
Somebody is snoring in the corner there. It will do what, for instance, the iPads can't, which is act like a real computer where you can compose with it, you can use all the legacy app, you know, laptop apps.
And actually plug a USB device into it?
Yeah, instead of like a speak and say like Siri, right?
Yeah. Or maybe...
Oh, he's warming up now.
Or have to throw an SD card in there?
I think he woke up.
Oh, which sounds really good, but you're all speculating. When was the last time you touched one?
Touch one what?
There's no Microsoft store here in Michigan.
Well, no, but he brings up a good point.
Oh, that's a good beginning there.
You bring up a good point.
How long did it take for Apple to get a store in Michigan? It took them 6 years to get a store in Michigan.
No.
Well, what are we saying? Touch what?
What I'm saying
he's saying
is
you
that
really can't get your hands
I'm
on
saying Microsoft it. Didn't put enough of the product out for the media to talk about
that's
touch
true.
And feel so we can promote it so people can know it's out there and be able to enjoy it for its good and its bad.
One of the things I didn't say is I think that Steve Ballmer's got to go or whoever's at the helm. Or they got to put somebody in charge who will run that bloody company.
And they don't even have to dump Ballmer. What they need to do is just bring in some fresh, young blood and say, look, take this product and make it do.
Yeah, and get their PR.
A good example, I am a Microsoft partner, a certified Microsoft partner. You would think months ago they would have said, hey, Shane, here is the new tablet.
Right.
Get it out to the people.
Right.
Show it. Use it.
Nope.
Nothing. And that bothers me.
Yep.
And I think that is with these silos at Microsoft. This is the silo that is the PR. Mm-hmm. They will spend $1 billion on some very clever ads, but don't get really down to the nuts and bolts, and they won't put them into people's hands. I agree with you, Cal, 100%. Ed, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I think it's time to get the next prediction.
All right.
I mean, we beat a dead horse there. And I think that Apple's operating system will be hit by a major virus in 2013. Apple will take a long time to patch it, as usual, to patch this security vulnerability, and hundreds of Apple users will cry foul.
So you think
I like the hundreds.
As long as that virus includes something to do with Siri, like it gives it a sex change and turns it into chalk. Something like that. That would be great. I would love it.
What was your last prediction there?
You know what I think? I think, and this kind of is a general theme.
We have the show title.
Yes. I think a general theme of all of our predictions is a lot of stuff media-wise with TV and cable. Is centered around the home. How are we going to handle our media at home? You know, and I think once we get that one box, that one magic box that does our DVR, our internet, everything, our texting, our video chat, I think once we do that, then our smartphones and our tablets, those devices can just stream our personal data to them only.
Right now, within the Apple ecosphere, we really can do that with Apple TV and AirPlay. And that is really neat about it.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. But I think...
And Microsoft as well.
Mike is going to say, Microsoft is doing that within their own...
Correct.
They got
the Xbox
Glass,
360,
Microsoft.
The media players.
This is tied right into my 360.
Yeah. Smart Glass is involved in it as well.
Yes.
So I agree with you. I think one of the things is one of you guys made this prediction, and I can't get to it right now, but you thought that what will happen is that we've got a lot of people who are small, nibbling away. Wasn't the comment, Cal? There's a lot of small players nibbling away. But you feel that in the end, I think it was you, that the cable companies and the big phone companies are going to control things because they have the deals with the providers right now. And all these little guys are not going to be able to break that.
No, I think probably the two big companies will probably buy up the little guys for the technology base and then incorporate that and then approach all the content providers, the people who are creating the content.
How about this? Cable in the future will not be one package, but you will a la carte.
Correct.
So I can choose 13 stations instead of 230 that I don't watch.
I can choose one.
Oh, that's interesting. I'd like that idea.
That may be their answer to the problem of the Roku boxes and the Apple TVs and... Intel is supposed to be coming out at CES with a whole set-top box.
Would that make you happy?
Yes.
Yeah, then you'll never see it.
All right, folks. We want to hear you at 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0WJR. For those of you listening to us live on our flagship station, WJR, we look forward to your questions and maybe even your predictions for 2013 after the news at the top of the hour. Look for you then. Come on back. Whether you're listening to us on one of our affiliates through Michigan Talk Radio or through our podcast, contact us by email if you have a question through our homepage at internetadvisor.net or put your question into one of our forums. Now let's rejoin the Internet Advisor team for the second hour of our podcast. Well, anytime we get to talk to you on our program here direct, it's a great show. And that's what we get a chance to do today because we're live on our flagship station, WJR 760 AM in Detroit. And the number to call is 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0WJR. We've already got some people lined up, and why don't you dial in and get yourself in line? We'll get to you just as soon as we can when we come back with the Internet Advisor. Let me just very quickly introduce our crew to you again for today. We've been having fun with predictions in the first hour. And by the way, if you have a comment about our predictions or you have some of your own for 2013, feel free to chime in when you call 800-859-0957. We have Ed Rudell, one of our tech advisors for many years, Shane Hamlin, who's with us, also another tech advisor, who works, is, by the way, with a, I want to say mom and pop. How would you describe the computer shop now?
I'm going to hear from the guys, but I like the computer boutique kind of thing.
I think it's a great term. You know? It's a standalone place that you'll find in metropolitan Detroit in the Sterling Heights area, mm-hmm. which is the northern part of Detroit. And Cal Carson is with us, our very own boutique master.
I wonder if the boutique has an espresso bar in it. Maybe I can get a nice cappuccino, maybe a nice frappe.
Yeah. We do sell apples, so I can't say that.
All right, guys.
I'm sure it's a fine, fine place to go to.
We have a bunch of callers here. Let's dive right into it, and welcome to the new year, our first caller of the new year. Rose, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hi. I have a question. Mm-hmm. I'm a senior citizen, right. And in one of the senior magazines, I saw an ad for a WOW computer,
right.
which is supposed to have buttons and very simple to operate for seniors.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to send for it and have them come, you know, you get it to, in your house and
right,
try
right,
it for a
right.
month. Is there a place or a store where you would have something similar to that that I can look at and see if this mm-hmm. is what I'm looking for?
Yeah, we should say, first of all, that, you know, there are a lot of stores around. Everything from a shop like CompTech, where Shane works in Sterling Heights, to the big boxes, Micro Center, Best Buy, and some of those other ones.
Yeah, but I've never seen a WOW computer.
Well, I mean,
in any of the places.
A computer like it. Let me explain for the folks who aren't listening right now. You can look it up online. It's mywowcomputer.com.
And wow.
it's basically.
Mywowcomputer.com?
Yeah, it's a standalone computer, all in one. Now, if you went to a store, for instance, like Shane's or whatever, you'd be looking for an all one. And you know that there are lots of them out there, right, Shane?
Yeah, I'm looking at the website. And it's a standard touch, you know, computer, you know,
right.
24-inch.
It is touch screen. Yep.
It's very expensive for the technology, you know, 2 gigs of RAM.
Yeah, we got to say this too. We have to say this. Back up a little bit. That the one of the things that happens when you try to sell to a niche, and particularly to seniors, is they will sell you this very specialized thing, like the best thing since sliced bread. But when you look under the hood, like we do, I immediately went to the technology page. It's running an AMD dual-core processor that's only 1.6 gigahertz. I mean, in other words, it's a very slow, it's got like a four-cylinder in it.
And this thing's $1,000.
Yeah,
right, $1,000. Exactly.
And now don't forget, Rose, it's $1,000 plus they're going to sell you an additional monthly support thing.
Right.
This is what they do. And I was thinking, you know, I've got a brand new, you know, 25-inch Lenovo touch desktop at my office.
That looks somewhat like
at my store. That looks identical to that. Comes with a keyboard and mouse. It's touchscreen, built-in webcam. And I can take Windows 7 and adjust it and make it so that it is senior-friendly,
right.
where the fonts are larger, the icons are larger, show them exactly how to use it. And that's got an i5, you know, core processor, you know, the latest technology.
And
that's the same price. And I'm not going to charge you monthly.
For seniors as well, let's just say this kind of quickly. You can get the same viewing experience with your current desktop by buying a nice monitor.
Correct.
And then using some of the adaptive technology that's under the hood. I'm right, Ed?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the thing. What makes this other product attractive is that it's put in the senior magazines and it's an all-inclusive thing where, you know, if you go to Shane's shop, you'll have to interact with the person that this is what I want.
Yep.
You know, usually seniors are at the point in their lives where they know exactly what they want.
Yep.
And they're not afraid to tell you what they want. So that's what you need to do. You need to, you know, find a local store and say, this is what I'm looking for.
Yep.
Give me a price.
Okay, now you said Shane's store. He happens
to be in Sterling Heights. And I, by the way, I have to say, this is complete disclosure here. Shane's not paid anything for being on the show, and this isn't a form of payment to him. We would like to say there are probably local shops around you wherever you are. However, his shop, tell me where it is.
It's in Sterling Heights.
Okay.
And you can find the information, you know, on our Facebook and on Internet Advisor Facebook.
Right.
It's called Comp Tech Services, correct, in Sterling Heights.
And Comp Tech Services?
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
Comp Tech, right.
Comp Tech Services.
You might as well just give it a phone number while you're at it.
Right, I'd appreciate that.
No, okay.
I will, you know what I will do is I'll make sure it's on our site for you
so you can
get that. Because, you know, I don't want this to be a commercial for us because I just know that people need, especially seniors, they need one-on-one, and they need
you might as well give your phone number because we've had other people here that done. Okay, well, we'll put it on the website.
I will put it on the website.
We'll make sure that's there. All right, but the important point for you, Rose, and for the other folks who are listening is to know that you can go to some place. It could be with Apple, for instance. You get some great personal service. So, you know, as good as those deals look like on the internet, very often when you scratch under the surface, they really are selling you more of the sizzle than the steak. Cal, you wanted to say something before we wrap up?
Yeah, Rose. You know, just because you have the moniker of senior citizen doesn't mean you're not a capable person of using a computer.
No, I know that. Yeah.
And if you want to be able to sharpen up your skills and stuff like that, too, look at some of your continuing ed at some of the high schools in your area or your community colleges in the area. And during those courses, you'll run into other people who are using computers, and they can also tell you ways that you can take your existing computer and tweak it so it's more usable.
That's it. Okay, Rose.
Okay, swell.
Thank you for the information. Sure. Happy New Year's to you. We took a little more time talking with Rose about that because we know there are a number of people out there who are seniors who are listening, and I like what you said, Cal. The fact that you're a senior citizen doesn't mean you've dumbed down. As Ed said, you know a little bit more about what you want. So you might as well go someplace where you can get people who can help you to get what you want. By the way, for those of you who are listening here in the metropolitan Detroit area and would like to visit Shane's shop. Shane's shop.
That's Shane's shop.
Sounds like a place where you go get a slab of ribs.
See, the boutique thing's coming back.
There we go. We're going to... I posted next to his smiling face the Comtech services and the phone number so that you can get in and get contact with that. Okay, back to our phone number, 800-859-0957. Let's go back out to Adrian and I think an old friend of ours. Happy New Year, Ben.
Hi, how you doing, Foster?
Just fine. Thank you so much. Good to talk to you, sir.
Well, it's good to talk to you. I want to comment on some things that you had on the first part of the show.
Yeah.
You was talking about the big box stores and the mom-pop type stores and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been looking for a new computer. And every time I contact a so-called big box store, them kind of places, Tiger Direct, I get told, well, you take what we got and then add to it if you want something more than that.
Yeah, customize it, according to what you want.
Yeah, they don't want to customize anything. They want to just sell what they got on it, listed, and that's it.
Yeah.
If you go to the mom-and-pop type stores, you can get it built kind of to what you want.
You know, Ben, that's how I got my first computer. I think it was the mid-90s or a little earlier than that. I went to somebody who built the thing for me and built it pretty much to my specifications.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, he pirated the software. So I had to take it back to him and say, I want an original, not somebody else's software. But one of the things we were saying before, Shane, is there's like two different kinds of shops you can go to. There's the old kinds run by a geek who, when you open the door to the shop, kind of looks at you like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, they're so into what they're doing. They have no personal skills at all.
No, it's very much a hobbyist kind of thing.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you have people who really are interested. Now, I know you're in the Adrian area, for instance, which is southwest of Detroit.
Yeah.
Are there places down there that you have found, you know, like those kind of mom-and-pop shops or local shops for computers?
Yes, there is. And there's one that I've shopped there a little bit, and somehow or another he seems awful high-priced.
Mm.
And so I've been trying to find something else.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, Ben, you will find the pricing slightly higher sometimes with certain things because the mom and pop obviously don't have the buying power.
They can't buy that volume.
What I'm getting at was I might have been looking maybe for the wrong thing when I was talking with him.
Ah.
But he just was so much higher than what I'd looked at some stuff online.
Mm-hmm.
that kind of was in what I was wanting.
Yeah, it's tough. Now, you want to do some, you are, by the way, a gentleman farmer, but you are very high tech. And I know that you use a lot of GPS kind of applications, and you were looking for something that would be customizable for that too, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the company told me that the main software that I want to run, that I could run Windows 8, but they would prefer I would go with Windows 7.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As I would too. I would think that's
if you're running a very highly customizable, yes, because we're still in very, very early days with Windows 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they won't be compatible with it.
The other thing I wanted to know is, Shane was talking about deleting all the emails. Is that what happens to the ones I send him that he never replies?
No. Actually, no, I do not delete all my emails. I go through them. You know, just with the holidays, I think just some other things that happened. But I thought I did reply to you back just recently, Ben.
I didn't get a reply.
I thought I typed a nice one out to you.
You know, I had a problem with an email.
240 characters or less?
Yes.
We will make sure that he does get a message to you. I had some trouble with some email. So
could have been that.
That could have been a glitch in the system. Happy New Year to you, Ben.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Thank you so much. Good. Ben from Adrian. Ben Carpenter, who's been with us here in our studios as well. Delightful to hear from him. Shirley from Westland, how may we help you?
Hi. How you doing?
Very well.
That's good. Let me take you off the speakerphone
because
I just walked in the door from work.
Oh my. Okay, I'll let you take us off the speakerphone. Okay. And you have a question about a Toshiba laptop. Hmm?
Yes. I just purchased a Toshiba laptop for Christmas. And they sent, you know how you get the free software?
Mm-hmm.
And they sent about 5 softwares. And I can't get it to download because I think my security, which is Norton, they're giving me a free trial.
Mm.
But I did buy Viper, and I haven't programmed that yet. But I can't get the software on the computer.
Shirley, what is the operating system? Is it Windows 8?
Windows 8.
Okay, it's Windows 8 you're working with. Okay, guys, any thoughts?
Well, what type of software were you trying to download or install?
They sent a few of them, and I started downloading the first one. Let me get the name of it. It's right here.
Sure. You said that they sent it to you. So Toshiba is offering this?
Well, actually, I bought it off the shopping store on TV. NSH.
Okay.
And I got the Viper along with it, which I hadn't even programmed that yet.
Viper is an antivirus program.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, because Norton is on there now.
Yes, it's a trialware that's on there now. By the way, folks, we should just quickly remind you: when you're buying a new computer, very often they'll say, "Oh, it's got security on it, but it's trialware, and that is dangerous." I'll tell you why it's dangerous. You forget about it, and the 60 days are up. And you haven't looked into it again, and suddenly...
I mean, let's be realistic. Norton's not going to catch a virus anyway.
Well. What's even more important than that is that where do you get your internet from? Do you get it from Comcast? Do you get it from UVerse?
UVerse.
Okay. Before you go out and buy antivirus software, you know that UVerse will give you, I believe, McAfee antivirus software for free.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yes, and it's compatible with Windows 8 as well.
So if you have the ability and you haven't cracked open the package to send that back, you might want to do that, keep your money, and then just download it for free.
Okay, I should do that.
Yeah.
It's amazing. We're talking about Windows 8, and we're not mentioning, we're talking about it's compatible with Windows 8, Windows Security Essentials is Windows.
Windows Defender
free.
Now.
And that's
free.
That's the best one, I think, for Windows 8.
You should know that Windows 8 already comes with a pretty hefty security package of its own. Windows Defender has been described in some of the stuff that I've been reading as good and actually better than Microsoft Security Essentials. It took the best of that and blended it in. So your machine is already very well protected. I don't know that you necessarily need anything in addition.
I would uninstall the Norton antivirus, and if you install the Viper, and then you'd also want to make sure that, of course, Windows Defender or Microsoft Security Essentials installed.
Isn't it natively installed?
Well, see, she got this from Toshiba, so we don't know how it arrived. We don't know if they've disabled it or not.
That's a good point.
So you might want to confirm that Defend Windows Defender or Security Microsoft Security Essentials is already installed. But what was the other software that you were having difficulty installing?
Okay. It says new PC software sites, and then it has Coral Paint Shop Pro X4, Cooking Recipe Organizer 10, Craft Art Scrapbook, Family Tree, Heritage. Yeah.
Now, on the side of the package, does it say if what is it compatible with? Compatible with Windows,
let me read further.
Windows XP, Windows Vista, Windows 7,
Shirley,
Windows 8.
Where did you buy this for the Home Shopping Network?
Yes, I did.
You know, I'm going to suggest something, hon. With Windows 8 in particular, if you haven't opened the package yet, as Cal said, I'd hold on to that. Because in the marketplace, in Windows 8 marketplace, you have a lot of free resources in there.
Mm-hmm.
There are paint programs in there.
Well, this is free, too.
It was.
Free bundle.
But as Ed's saying, I would suspect that they may not be compatible with Windows 8. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure. But I can just tell you this, that within the Windows 8 marketplace, which is on your computer right now, part of Windows 8, you can get all that stuff for free.
Okay.
And you might want to take a look at that before you put all this other stuff on. We're going to take a break here. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll talk a little bit to you offline and get some of these other things out, okay? So thank you very much, Shirley. Okay, we've got Bill in Cleveland we'll get to in just a minute, but we've got phone lines open for you as well at 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0WJR. Your chance to get some answers to your questions. Welcome back to the Internet Advisor. Once more, our phone number is 800-859-0957. Or another way of saying that, 800-859-0WJR. And there's room for you as we're looking to get going on a new year here on the right foot, answering your questions. By the way, if you haven't just kind of come across us, we're normally here at 4 to 6 on Saturday afternoons in our flagship station, WJR in Detroit. Otherwise, you folks may be hearing us on the Michigan Radio Network at various times on the weekends. And so thank you very much for allowing us into your lives as well. We've got Ed Rudell, Shane Hamlin, and Cal Carson in studio, along with myself, Foster Brown. Again, that number is 800-859-0WJR or 859-0957. And Cal.
Yes, Foster, you just want to remember to let people know that if they're listening and they're not getting all the information down, written down as they're listening, trying to find out the solution to their program, their problem, they can always go to internetadvisor.net. And we have our podcast out there where you can download and listen to the show over again just to make sure you got all those tips right.
And the other thing, too, is you may be driving, you haven't got a way of, you know, getting the phone, getting off the side of the road safely, and we want you to be safe. We also have our forums there. So if you go to internetadvisor.net, the forums are up there. Some folks who have been in there on a regular basis helping people out. Ben Carpenter is one of them, and some other folks as well. So that's another place for you to go. And if you happen to be listening to us on the network at another time than we're on live, email us. There's a contact us form. So lots of ways of getting your question to us. But right now, those of you who are within our listening, the sound of our voice here on WJR, can call 800-859-0957. Let's go back and talk with William from Cleveland. Hey, William, how you doing? And welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a Windows 7 desktop,
mm-hmm.
and I got to the point I wanted to connect back with my carrier, and I could never do that. So the signal that came up was a cable is not plugged into the network adapter local area connector. Plug a cable into the network adapter local area connector.
Mm-hmm.
Check back with us. Now, the thing is, I've gone through a whole procedure. Do I drag it over? What's the procedure for dragging over if I get to the plug?
Oh, okay. So, I mean,
first of all, how do you connect now? Are you plugged into your router, or do you get your signal from the internet wirelessly? How do you get it?
I get mine is net zero, and the thing is, I cannot get back to even to my carrier. So something is loose, but they said it. I checked the PC, and they said your PC is okay.
So you
cannot get out of my house with it.
So you went out and you bought a brand new computer.
No, it's an old computer now.
Oh, okay. Now, on the back of the computer, you were connecting to Net Zero. Were you connecting via dial-up?
I connected all my connections.
Well, telephone.
I connected all my connections, so it can't be my wires or anything. It's got to be something in the procedure. Why you do something?
Okay, hang on. I know that you're upset about this. It's just so frustrating to have this kind of thing happen. But just hang on a second, and let's check a little bit with the guys on what might be going about how you connect.
Well, if you remember, I mean, through dial-up, because Net Zero is a dial-up system, and they provide free email, but they also provide a limited amount of internet web surfing, 15 minutes or something like that, before they disconnect you. So does your modem traditionally make dialing noises like a touch tone phone when it worked?
Yes.
Okay, is it still making that noise?
When I turn it on, I don't listen for a noise, but normally I click it and it comes on.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You might want to go on the back of your computer, and the wire that goes from the back of the computer to the wall where it plugs in for the phone.
Yes.
There may be two plugs back there. One has a picture of a telephone, and one has a picture of the wall jack.
That's right.
You want to take the wire and make sure it's plugged into the one that looks like a wall jack on the back of your computer.
I've tried that.
Okay.
And then the other end is plugged into the wall on the plugged into the wall jack for the telephone, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, okay. The trick is, have you got a telephone that you could plug into that cable that normally plugs into the back of your computer? Is there a way that you could take a regular phone?
My telephone plugs into the back of my PC, I can use telephone anything.
Oh, you can use it. I'm wondering if
I bet you in this configuration it's set up to use the Ethernet connection instead of using the dial-up connection. He has to go in and change that.
Well, it could be set up that way, or his modem is burned out because of an electrical surge or a lightning strike.
Good point.
The modems traditionally, I mean, we don't deal with them that frequently anymore, but they have been damaged in the past by electrical surges and lightning strikes. How long has it been since it's been working?
What? I mean, about a year.
Wow.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah. I'm still paying my net payment.
William, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't hurt you, to be honest with you, just to take if this information isn't getting to you, if we're not communicating it well enough for you, I mean, you could always just take your computer right into a local shop and just.
I took it to the what's the place? These guys that have the store.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Best Buy, the Geek Squad.
Geek. It wasn't the geek, but it was the geek guys worked there.
There are geeks in the house. Okay, so somebody who knows about computers.
Did they charge you for the service?
The young lady put it up on her desk and hooked it to her hookup on the desk.
Okay,
and she said, and everything was going on that I don't know what I didn't even have. She said it's all right.
Yeah, she connected it to her. She connected it.
And I left.
Yeah, now, William, do you have somebody who can come into the house there and take a look at it with you?
Yeah, I've had those guys over
from
time to time for different things before this happened.
Yeah. Now, what I'm guessing maybe is that you just need a good pair of eyes that can go over there. Do you have like a nephew, niece, a grandson, granddaughter, or son or daughter who can
trusted
come over?
Neighbor, yeah.
Somebody who's trusted that can come in there?
Yes.
All right. Well, you get one of those young rascals. and you make them pay for the presents that you buy them all these Christmases. You tell them, I need some help here. Because I think what you need is just a good pair of eyes that can take a look at those connections, who knows a little bit about computers. They don't have to be a genius. Just know about computers and get you back hooked up. Because it sounds like your computer's working just fine. It's a matter of making that connection to the wall. So we want to have you take care of that. So make sure, see if you can get one of those young folks around there to give you a hand, all right? Thanks so much for your call. And it's a little hard for us to diagnose or work with that on the...
Well, we kind of know what it is.
Yeah, I think
it is. But it's conveying that to him
in
a way
tough.
That he could do it. Dial-up is a little tricky.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is very tough. Okay.
It's a lost art.
Oh, you prediction. A prediction.
What's that?
No more dial-up next year. Or this year.
Well, you know, how
you
about
gotta
the
wonder
people?
How Net Zero hangs on, you know?
Because it's all.
But
older
you know,
people.
I've had, but like no, AOL. Not just that. People in rural areas too have a problem of not being having any decent kind of connections. How many emails have we seen? Of people who say, just recently we had somebody who was on Juno slash Net Zero.
Right. Well, you know, and didn't I read something in the paper that said, congratulations, over 50% or 75% of the country's wired, you know, for high speed internet. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. You know, there's so much rural Michigan alone because we're a peninsula in a peninsula that is not wired.
Yeah, a lot of it. Shane, you had an interesting statistic about China. I think we didn't get it in at the time, but we talk about the internet as if we were the only ones who used
broadband.
But actually, we are probably well behind what used to be called the developing world in China.
It's something like, I think they're predicting for 2013... 53 or 52% of all the population is connected
China.
To the internet, broadband to the internet.
So that's
75.
Figure 50%. Yeah. Well, how many Chinese are there? How many billion are there?
I lost count.
1.3 billion, 1.4 billion.
So half of them.
700 and something.
700 million people.
Yes.
That's roughly almost three times the size of the United States. Now, Matt, imagine if everybody in the United States had that access to broadband.
Yeah.
If 50% of us had, I don't think 50%, did you say, in the U.S.?
Not even.
Not even.
And imagine if every one of those people had a mobile phone. My prediction for 2013 will come true.
Well, it may happen overseas. As a matter of fact, the U.S. may end up following technology that's developed over
there. Well, you understand the reason why that's happening. In developing nations, they don't have things like telephone wires and legacy infrastructure already in place. So you roll in, you stick up a cell tower, and the game is on.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly. Okay, hey, we're going to come back, take more of your calls before we wrap things up here. 800-859-0WJR. That's 800-859-0957. Internet Advisor on the air for you, and welcome, by the way, to a brand new year. I'd like to thank Annie Nichols, who is our lady of the phones here, and also Rick Luzinski, who's behind the board. Thanks, guys, so much for the hard work you put in there. We do have a little bit of my time left, 800-859-0957. Maybe squeeze another call in. So if you had a question you'd like to have answered, give us a call. And then don't forget to go to internetadvisor.net. You'll find our show notes there, and the podcast will be up on Sunday nights. In addition to that, you can find past podcasts. And by the way, I'll put all the predictions up there so you can pick them apart one by one. And Gary Baker will be made to post his his predictions by this next weekend. Let's welcome Hank from South Lyon. Hey, Hank, how you doing? Welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hi, guys. Thanks. Hey, I am one of the last of the hanger-oners that still have dial-up.
Okay.
I was listening to your previous caller.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have People PC. Cost me $8 a month.
Okay.
And I think they're part of Earthlink now. But
They've all been kind of gobbled up. Juno 8 Net Zero, I think, and that's the company
right.
now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. People PC was one of them too.
Right.
So, anyways, but lately, and I've always keep my computer updated, and with all the latest, I'm running XP. But lately, I've noticed my connection speed always was 50.6K, which was pretty optimal for a dial-up modem.
Mm-hmm.
But lately, all I've been able to get is 42 and 46, and I hang up and redial it, and 46 is about the best I can get.
Now,
it makes a big difference when you're already running at a snail's pace.
Sure. Sure.
Well, welcome to the world of rotating modem pools. And what happens is a couple of things are happening. You're rotating on a big pool of modems, and some modems are happier than others. Some are older than others. And so you got that issue that you deal with. In addition to that, you've got the copper phone line that you're going over. And if it takes one route one way, it might be even better than it takes the route the other way. All these things will make a difference in how your speed is coming to you.
Right, so local telephony company could have made some changes up on the poles, basically. You know, up by my parents, we used to always blame the chipmunks because they
when we first came on, Gary and I found out I had a squirrel that was lowering my signal by chewing through the lines.
Yeah. But you know, he's paying a massive $8 a month for dial-up, and if he doubled that $8 to about 16, maybe a little bit less than 20, he could quadruple his speed with just basic DSL for whatever was worth.
If available in his area.
Yes.
I can get that through AT&T.
Oh, there you go. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
But you're a diehard dial-up user, and you're not giving it up,
right? What was the chain said? You just give up a couple
really.
Lunches a
day? Not really. I'm just behind the times. The only reason I ever got a cell phone is because I got to the point where I couldn't find the payphone anymore.
Ain't that the truth? Well, Hank, you know, in this particular case, as at the point that the Cal is making is, for a whopping twice as much, or $16 a month, you can probably get AT&T to give you DSL, which is still going to come through your phone lines. You won't have a lot of bells and whistles on it, but it will give you a much better throughput than you have right now, and you won't have this modem pool that you'll be swimming in.
I mean, you can always try another. You can, if they give you multiple numbers for the area, you try another number. But what happens is, like I said, is the equipment is deteriorating over time. It's getting old, and they're not putting a lot of money into replacing that stuff.
That's kind of what I was, when I your screener, I was like, is it possible that these, these providers are, since it's all going to the higher speed, they're not keeping up the equipment, not updating
the
servers? Okay.
Very possible.
How's CompuServe?
I have like five numbers that I can switch through.
Yes.
I usually
go
through them all, and I can't get a better speed.
Well, that's what Cal is saying. You're in a pool of modems, and each one of those phone numbers taps into a different pool of
also, them. The other thing is your own modem might be coming to the end of its life
as
well.
Yes.
It could be. It's a Dell Dimension 3000 that I got in like 2005. So, yeah. You know,
did that one come with the little treadle underneath the desk?
He's being a smart aleck. Okay, hey, you know what you can do now?
I catch a lot of grief from everybody for.
Well, Hank,
it's a conversation.
That's okay,
that's
Hank.
Sure.
Hey, after the new year, by the way, a lot of people have gotten the machines. They're putting stuff on Craigslist and some places like that. You might even find for $100, you might find a decent laptop that'll give you three or four generations beyond where you're at right now, and it'll make you happy.
In all seriousness, you'll have a lot less frustration if you
go
ahead
with wireless
and upgrade
devices.
Your speed. Yeah.
He can go with wireless devices now.
He's
once he gets a DSL, he can go. He can get a tablet or something like that.
If you get something like that, then you can take it into a McDonald's or someplace or a coffee shop near you that has open wireless as well, and you can blaze away. You'll have so much fun on that system with it. All right, Hank.
I'm pretty tech savvy. I'm not ever at home, so I never upgrade my stuff.
My stuff
at work is all top notch.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
well, I think a DSL at home would certainly be a step up for you. And then a little better equipment. You'll find that all the components inside a computer. Folks, when you hang on to a computer for a long time, you not only lose out on operating systems that have improved, but the hardware inside of it has improved, like the bus speed, which is the hose that the highway that gets the information on. Anyway, you know all that, Hank.
Yeah.
I'm running a Celeron processor and two gigs of DDR1 RAM.
I got it. Hank, thanks so much. I'm going to see if you get one more call in. Appreciate your call. Thanks so much. All right, let's go to Chuck from Marlette. Hey, Chuck, how you doing? Welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Well, it's cold up here, but we had a beautiful sunshiny day.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't have a computer or software question, but I was listening to the lady that called a few minutes ago about the WoW computer,
yes.
And she was wondering
gross.
If she could find a place to see it, to
try
it out, so to speak, before purchasing. And I got a presentation over the phone on the WoW computer, and I forgot after growing up in Detroit to kick the tires first, an old expression, the meaning to try it out before buying.
Mm-hmm.
And my advice is there are very many experienced senior citizens.
Yes.
But they still need, like the lady wanted, the store, try it out, talk to the salesperson, rather than buying out of a catalog or after a
or home shopping network, something. Not that the deals there might not be bad, but nothing will beat getting your hands on it. Cal, we talked about this, and guys, we talked about, how do you make your decision about the computer you use? Get your hands on it.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine spending that kind of money and not touching it,
It's like buying a car.
Yeah.
and never having gotten into the front seat of it.
Unless
it's like
something...
getting a mail order bride or something.
Unless you're dead set sure what you're about to buy is something that you're going to love, or let's say you're over a friend's house, you touch their computer and you go like, yeah, that was really cool, and I'll buy the same one.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Then in that case, it's not an issue.
Like a Windows 8 phone. I would buy that anytime. Wouldn't even have to touch it.
But that's because...
I bought the Wow computer after I say a telephone call. Oh. I forgot about actually seeing it, which I think is probably very difficult.
Yeah. What was your experience, quickly? What was your experience with it, Chuck?
Well, it just didn't live up to its supposed sales reputation.
Right.
And then the company, it's called First Street. Their slogan is for boomers and beyond.
Yeah.
And they weren't very responsible to my questions.
Right.
So it was a difficult
Have you still got the computer?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And is it okay for you on regular use?
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah. All right. But it certainly
like it was
wasn't.
Mentioned, yeah. It does not have the speed and the capability of the other computers that people could buy for that same $1,000 price.
Thank you for saying that. I hope that there are seniors out there who are listening closely, because you don't want to buy a pig in a poke, as they used to say.
That is correct. Another old expression. That's a good one. Take it for a test drive first.
That's it. Chuck, thanks so much for all your call. Appreciate it. Happy New Year to you. And thank you for all of you who have joined us on this first program of the brand new year. Coming up next week, we're going to be talking with Rick Broida, who is going to be attending the CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, this week, and he and Gary Baker will be back in here talking about that. Cub Scout troop will be visiting. Shane, thank you so much for joining us.
Put me back in the closet until the next time, but I'll be out.
Thanks, Shane Hamblin, Eddie Riddell, and Kel Carson. Thanks so much for being here. All the rest of you, thank you so much for joining us. And don't forget, InternetAdvisor.net. That's a place to go for our show notes and for all the information that you need. If you've got other questions, our forum is there, and also you can get emailed to us through the Contact Us form. Hey, and don't forget to visit us on Facebook. Lots of good stuff there as well. Have a great week. We'll see you soon here.
You've been listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor, where since 1998, we've been helping non-geeks to find answers to their questions and to make their journey on the Internet a much more enjoyable one. If you have any questions you'd like answered directly by our team, please go to our homepage at InternetAdvisor.net and fill in the Contact Us forum, or join one of the forums that are there on the Internet Advisor. And don't forget, the toolkit is available with Ed's excellent advice, full of all sorts of information and free software to help you. So don't forget to visit us on Facebook and like our site so that you can catch all the news that we post there during the week. The door is always open for you at InternetAdvisor.net, on our Facebook page, and through Twitter. Safe surfing, and we'll see you again soon.